Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You are listening to an edition of Religion Means Alive by Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive, and I have a very special address to the public. I'm waiting now to go Facebook Live so we can reach a wider audience, and that you can hear my views on our beloved brother, Brother Minister Malcolm Shabazz. Minister Malcolm Shabazz was given the name because he was a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad founded Brother Minister Malcolm through his brother Wilfred in Norfolk State Prison, where he was doing time for a crime, a serious crime. Now, Minister Malcolm represented a minority, a small ministerial minority, a person that had come into the Lost Found Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not a sycophant of anybody. I am a person who follows the Spirit of God wherever it leads me to. And my reflections today will not be based on some emotionality. It will not be based upon some affection or need within me to be attached to any human being. I am attached to Almighty God. Not attached to Almighty God, but attached to the Spirit of Almighty God. And I'm obviously, or should be, attached to the freedom, to the justice, and the equality, the obtaining thereof, of the honorable, the freedom, justice, equality of my noble and honorable people. So I'm going to be very slow. I have spent most of my life in New York City in the vicinity, so I have a rapid speech pattern. And I'm going to slow it down so we can address some very serious problems. I've gone out on a limb, and I'm not afraid of going out on a limb. And I've said that I am the successor to Minister Malcolm Shabazz. And I think that requires a great explanation. It shouldn't be something that's said. Now, if you see Malcolm as a superhero or a super god, or you see him as somebody who's unattainable, then I am ridiculous. If you see Malcolm, Minister Malcolm, that is, as a part of a process of a people, then you will, in fact, bear witness, and you will see the issues that our people face here in North America. In fact, all one has to do is turn on the television, and one can see that the American people and the world in general has a need for leadership. And I'm convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that what we have in the community, the African American people that has risen up by the permission of Almighty God, we have been risen up for the express purpose of leading the world out of darkness. I am convinced that just as God raised up prophets from Adam to Muhammad, God himself has raised up a people to raise said, I am the successor to Brother Minister Malcolm. We first have to know who is Malcolm. What is the essence of Malcolm Shabazz's ministry and mission? What is the forces, what are rather, the forces that have caused his existence? And we shouldn't have an ignorant man getting up to explain a phenomenon. We should have someone to explain that has been blessed by Almighty God himself. I don't believe Brother Minister Malcolm would have been successful if God hadn't been with him while he was under the protection of God. So we have to understand what is cause and effect. Well, Malcolm was an effect. He was not a cause. God says in the Quran, the Khalatan and Santa, the Asnin Tapwing, that he had made the social creature, the highly evolved social creature, in the best of modes. Has given him an ear to listen, to have inner vision, has given him a tongue to speak. And what makes him superior to anything on earth is the human intellect. And God has given us a human intellect. Therefore, it is said that the insan, the social creature, not the selfish human being that can go to bed and see his fellow citizen hungry and ride around in a Maserati, ride around in Learjets. That's not a social creature. That's a regressive creature. But let's find out a cause. The circumstances surrounding the creation of one minister, Malcolm Shabazz. God says in the Quran, now I'm going to give it to you just in English. He says that I am a worker. There is never a time that you do not find me engaging in some marvelous creation. This is what God says of himself. So you too work in your place. God says, it gives it over and over again. Well, then it says again, but the comma salat, was that cat? That God obligates us to believe, but then God obligates us to give. Over and over and over. And that's, God says that, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. It's in all holy books. So while we are addressing these subjects, this subject of Minister Malcolm Shabazz and his successor, we should understand what the soul has requisitioned. Some 400 odd years on the west coast of Africa, south of the Sahel, over millions of persons were brought to North America, houses, Pulus, Ashantis, Igbo, primarily from Muslim land. Even at the time of the slave trade, there were tremendous amounts of Igbo, and they were Muslim. Booker T. Washington happened to descend it from those people. Frederick Douglass descended from those people. I don't know whether Nat Turner did or not, but probably he did. But most of the people that were brought to the shores of North America either were Muslims or came from Muslim lands. I can document this. This is not some John Henry Clark speaking. You're not speaking, and I'm saying this because I know we have some learned people listening to this address. And we have some people who think that they are students of Minister Malcolm and know Malcolm, but they really don't. They don't know the circumstances. They don't know the psychology. They don't know the environment. They only see the effect, but they don't know the cause. So I'm here to educate us the cause and to bring this message live. On. I understand that tomorrow is the birthday of Minister Malcolm. I'm speaking the day before. And the reason I'm speaking the day before, because there's a very historic thing happening in my life tomorrow. I won't announce it until probably June 7th or 8th. But something big is happening in America. And something big should have happened in America when we turn the television on. Now, I would really advise all of you to read the chapter of Surah is in Islam, and Islam, the Quran is called Rome, the Roman Empire. And we pray for the betterment of America. Dear beloved people, what requisition of the soul produced Brother Minister Malcolm, Shabbat, I argue rather passionately that 400 years of deprivation and destruction of the human being and life, so much so that the human being, the African people, used to say what they were told. That God didn't even care about them, that they were not human. That's what the African American was told. They weren't called African Americans at the time. They were Fulus. They were Yorubas. They were Hausas. They were Mendes. And I'm using the proper scientific term for the people, what they call themselves, not the term they say Mandingo. You African American brothers know what I'm talking about when we say Mandingo. The Fulanis, which was a favorite of the white slave master. To see African American, African women raped, men brutalized, men sodomized, men destroyed. And that kind of human triple darkness, moral darkness, mental darkness, spiritual darkness, God says that you cannot destroy the human soul. You can challenge it. You can damage it. But you can't destroy it. And people that don't have any belief in God, they will appropriate and extract political statements for their own purpose. One was Manning Marable, who had no belief in God. He had written a book on Malcolm. There are many others. But I've studied all those persons, and most of them I had little of no respect for because they didn't understand the essence of what produced Malcolm. They were caught up in the effects. A good biographer has to know the cause of what produced the bile. What are the forces? This is not a sermon. I want you to understand it. A Christian sermon takes 18 minutes. So if you expect 18 minutes because you got something to do, better to do, you got something baking in the oven, go on about your business. But if you want a learned discussion and a tap into the spirit of what produced Minister Malcolm and what is producing his successor, then I would urge you to stay and to listen. Now, I told you that the slave masters in my home state, which I happen to be from Lynchburg, Virginia, the home of Jerry Falwell, the founder of what is called the non-majority, the immoral non-majority. And I feel an obligation in my soul, in my mind, and in my spirit to redeem Lynchburg, Virginia. The city that produced Thomas Jefferson, who could say that we will actually incur the wrath of God for what we are doing and taking advantage of these people. That's what Jefferson said. He understood that. Mr. Berry said in the House of Burgesses, that is the legislature of the state of Virginia, that we have closed off all doors of light and they will live like a beast. How people said, over my head, I see trouble. They didn't believe this was going to last all day, all the time. I see trouble. And they were responding to the humiliation, the continuing rape, the continual torture, unknown to human beings, the cutting out of our very tongue. I want you to stay with that tongue. Focus on that. They actually cut people's tongues out. And I want to also let you know that the people that they brought to America had been judges, had been leaders, had been physicians, had been engineers. In fact, Charleston, West Virginia, Charleston, pardon me, South Carolina is constructed by the wall of people with great men in metallurgy, with engineering, great brick masons, great builders. They requisitioned these people. And they said, these people saw, these African people said, I see trouble. You can keep telling me that there ain't no God, but that, and I heard music. There must be a God somewhere. They had a little fragment of Islam. The last after a while, the cruel slave masters and engineers decided they wouldn't even bring any more Africans here. So they wouldn't be even connected to any culture, to any religion. They didn't even teach them Christianity at this time. Treated the African preacher, and they said, "Well, they thought that would be a way to pacify a few, but they didn't want a mass movement, so they had their own books. That once they became Christian, they had to be free, so they had to keep this preaching enslaved, and they produced Nat Turner, and Nat Turner rose up, looked in the Bible, and saw himself as Jeremiah." I heard music. There must be a God somewhere. My grandmother, Lula Nallen. My grandfather, Thomas Booker. Both, paternally and maternally, slaves. My great-grandfather, a slave. I had one African-American writer ask me, your grandparents were slaves? Absolutely. I don't state things without that. I don't play guessing games. I hope they are listening. writers and thinkers and listeners. Our intellectuals must be men and women of faith, faith in an eternal God who doesn't appear in anybody's person, not black, not white. God is not a man or a woman. God is God. As my Christian friends describe, God all by himself. He, the creator of the heavens and earth, was ever watchful, ever mindful of this torture, this mental abuse, this rape, raping the children right in front of Thou, mother and father. Now they got a wicked plot out. I was at one of the banks recently, they had a picture of a white hippie-looking white boy with a black woman with a natural holding hand, further humiliating African Americans. I don't care what you say about Dr. William Cosby. Another torturing, another attempt to humiliate. You may be one of the favorites of white folks, but your day can come too. That's the first thing, the mistake that most of us make. Oh, I made it. Somebody weak African American, first thing you get in trouble, first thing he's going to say is, what did you do wrong? A slave mind. And that kind of mind produced a cause. People like Nat Turner knocked on the door. Gabriel Prosser knocked on the door of the womb and said, there's something happening in here. These people are not dead. Lazarus is asleep. But Lazarus is not dead. Frederick Douglass rose up, threw a stiff right uppercut from Muslim background. His poor little mother had told him, I'm going to give you the common term, the Fulani, Fulu mother. Passed it down. Gave him a sense of what happened, where he was from. And in his spirit, in his intellect, he resisted slavery. He too heard the song, before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. And go back to my Lord and be free. We're talking about what produced Brother Minister Malcolm and his successor. Yes, sister, and sister said, I but you're judging me, man. They weren't the only slave. Now, we are our and our own sense of slavery. Well, sister, just be patient and listen. And we'll explain that. I'm talking the historical slavery. I'm talking about slavery. I'm not talking, sister, from guesswork. I'm talking from extensive study of what happened. If you listen to be patient, you'll hear the rest of our conclusion. Thank you so very much. I just said to comment. Audience participation is welcome. Have some brother watching from Medina and the Malakut Saudia, the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. And I pray that you'll rapidly come and join us in finishing the job of liberating our people. We're continuing the job of waking our people up and bringing them out of trance. Psychologists call it a person-to-person trance. And so, Frederick Douglass, so, Booker D. Washington, many others. Sylvain Diouf has written a book, extensive book, called Servants of Allah, that shows traces of those slaves trying to hold on to their religion. But they were not able to hold on. They were able to hold on to a fragment. But remember, the slave master told them that they were not even human. So they had to whisper. They had to whisper to each other and pass on what little knowledge they had of that Pulu background. We know that Abdurrahman, who had came from Fanta land, was a Muslim. Great book written about him called Prince Among Slaves by Terry Alter. Again, I want you people who may not know this material to realize you have to be patient. You have to listen. This is the problem of our people. We've been conditioned to talk about things that we don't know and not give ourselves over to real leadership. We're impatient. That's the process of slavery, made us impulsive, given to impulsivity, given to acceptance, given to coon-like behavior to adapt to any form of oppression. Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and the peace be upon him. If you see a wrong, fight it with your hands. You can't fight it with your hands. Speak out against it. Can't speak out against it? Resist it in your spirit. Now, I've been conditioned to resist it in my spirit. To resist slavery. To die to it. To die to being dominated by others. Live, as the Quran says, mauti for haya. Die so you may live. There on the coast of Georgia, in the interior of Georgia, two men William Poole. And Earl Little. These are not their names. I want you to understand, sir. These are not their names. They were on. Earl Little was on. I'm going to tell you something. You African Americans, you know, why would you want to walk around today in a slave master's name? I just can't understand that. I'm going to be frank and be honest with you. Just admit in your heart that you're too weak and ask God to give you strength. I would not want to walk around in Booker's name. I'm not a Booker. I met a Caucasian from Buckingham County where my ancestors evolved from, and he said to me, I'm with family. I said, no, you're not the family. You're a devil. We're not family. You own, your people owned me. Y'all own Thomas Booker. You owned me. How are we going to be friends? Now, you give that mindset up. I can talk to you, but I never follow you. I wouldn't follow a Caucasian to be Hafiz or Quran. I don't care what he is. I would never follow him. Nowhere. But to a bank and make sure that the money is not counterfeit. This is kind of human pride and dignity you have. Should have. Text your friends and tell them Imam Alfred Muhammad, the rightful successor to Minister Michael Jabbar, is on the air. You all want to worship personalities. You don't even know what caused Minister Michael. Let's stay with Earl Little. That's a sign, Earl Little. And William Poole. We William Poole. If you missed this broadcast, if it goes off Facebook, then you can just dial 805-727-7013. Or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Imam Hour, put in the date. And you will hear the broadcast of this broadcast. If you listen, 805-727-7013. But we're going to continue. We're going to struggle with technology. But we're going to continue to address it. Because, again, we're talking about Brother Minister Malcolm Jamal and the conditions that produce him. They don't want you to hear this. Earl Little and William Poole. Booker T. Washington. Frederick Douglass. George Washington Cobb. Benjamin Elijah Mays. Howard K. Thurman was all a link in a process of great people with Christian names. Because after slavery, when they told us, don't even believe that God is with you, and God is not even concerned because you're not even a human being. Later they changed and say you're 3/5 of a human being and drill that in our heads. It's no more than 50 years ago that they told us, 50 years ago in Western theology, that we were the cursed son of Ham. And even in Arabic lands, they told us that you are dark, you are cursed, you are little of no use, everywhere in the world. And in 1920s, so, Drew Ali out of North Carolina, rose up and made a connection to Islam. Earl Little, head of Herod of Drew. I know some of you want to give Garvey credit because you don't have no respect for African Americans. Marcus Garvey didn't have the tools to create a mindset. Yan Carew, John Henry Clark, and all the rest of you who have put the West Indians against the African American. Malcolm didn't get anything. I'm getting ahead of myself. Marcus Garvey didn't have the psychology to break it. Bishop Turner tried to break that hold. And Bishop Turner came up with the idea that since God is a man, since y'all say he's a man, he has to be a black man. That's what Bishop Turner was preaching in Georgia. He was the bishop of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. That's when our people were still calling themselves African. There were still a few people trying to practice some form of Islam. I want y'all to wake up. Historian Mike Gomez shows us that in the southern parts of Georgia, the people still had a connection to Islam. A prophet called Al-Islam. I want you to understand this. Earl Little and William Poole, keep those names in your vocabulary. And there's a powerful sign. Everything's a sign from God. What do you mean, Brother Imam? There's a sign. Just listen. Be patient. A trance. African Americans in a trance. I looked at the pictures of some of the African American slaves, and you can see they said, what in the hell has hit my mind? What has happened to me? And when they were offered Christianity, and they didn't give it to them until the last 50 years of slavery, they gave them a white image and told them that that was God. And Sister Julie even said, he looks like God in the face. character is that of a devil. This is way before the Silk Trader came to Detroit, Michigan. Cause and effect. Noble Drew is more important in the history of Islam development in America than Farrakhan could ever be. A native African American. You all listen. You Uncle Toms who want to trade the white man for an Indian. All Farrakhan did was to bring a package together. He took Booker D. Washington's militarism, and it's in the Bible. He saw himself in the Bible. It said, gather the fragments. He took the fragments from Bishop Turner, took the fragments from Father Divine, took the fragments from Daddy Grace, and constructed a reverse white supremacy scheme. And God tells us that with Makaru and Makarallah, Allah, Kyra and Makra, they plotted and God plotted. And God is the best of plotters. And God permitted that plot of Farrakhan. And that plot was so strong that hundreds of thousands of African American men were able to kick the shackle of white supremacy off of them. So much so that the Little family, Earl Little, not influenced by Garvey. I'm so sick of you Negro who hate the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So jealous that you didn't have the courage to leave Christianity. I'm not here to knock Christianity, because I'm here to tell you that what God has blessed us with has made Christianity better for African Americans. But your hatred, I tell those who study this, the phenomenon of Brother Minister Malcolm, Manning Marable didn't live to tell his story. He died the day his book came out. This is nothing to play with. Scripture says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send you Elijah. And they lied. His name was Elijah Robert Poole. It was Elijah Poole, the son of William Poole. A Baptist preacher out of Macon, Georgia. But he was a bigger preacher than actually Earl Little. I'm not here to put anybody down. I'm here to give you the facts. A lot of you don't like to hear history. A lot of you don't want to hear about slavery. But you will never get any understanding of what is happening until you have known what has happened. And you won't know what will happen until you know what has happened and is happening. And I can tell you today that the reason that 7,000 African Americans are being killed on the street by African Americans today is because African Americans view each other as devils. And therefore, they're enacting the role of the Satan, killing our own people in a minute, and they'll kill you right inside your own home. This is a psychological death. This is the effect of slavery. This is the belief. Rotten imams refuse to teach this. Y'all wonder why God said, you leave off the remember of me, I'll leave off the memory. You know why you got President Donald Trump? You know why you got Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, and them leading you? Because you've left the memory of God. Your attachment to Malcolm is nothing but a sentimental attachment. Not an attachment to a body of knowledge. It's not an attachment to a concept. I've studied the Garvey movement extensively. I have great admiration for the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. But he didn't have anything sufficient. None of those leaders had anything sufficient to break that trance. And for Rod, all he did was bring a package. But he didn't have the engineering skill that this son of the Baptist preacher, this rebel against the Baptist pulpit, Elijah, created an incubator. An incubator to grow a new mind. The Western universities could produce that. The institutions in Mecca Mukarrama and Medina Manara and Lahore, Pakistan could not produce this new mind. And Brother Minister Malcolm, a criminal, came into this environment, this highly charged environment, and it threw off the shackles of inferiority. Didn't happen because he got the influence of God. Stop that line. I'll debate you anytime. I know God. I studied God. My office was down the hall from David Cronin, the professor on God. I know Robert Hill. So you're not dealing with some dilly-by-day or fly-by-night person. Thus, Almighty God has blessed me to study profoundly transformational psychology. This is what it's going to take to change the mindset of African-American people, to take this trance off them. We're in what psychologists call a dyad. Our dyad is a connect. Everything we think, everything we see is something to deal with the white man. We couldn't think of Exodus out of the white man. We can't take a pilgrimage out of the white man. The great psychologist, the greatest psychologist, greater than Fanon, greater than Price and Cobb, greater than Allison Davis, was the wise, honorable Elijah Muhammad. Did he have faults? Absolutely. Was he perfect? Was he the messenger of God? Absolutely not. But he was a man that created an incubator, which a new mind grew. That new mind grew up in that incubator. And by 1955, a new mind had grown up in America. And it was the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that this great mystic had predicted. Wallace D. Muhammad, Word the Dean. Ma'am said his father couldn't pronounce the name Word. So he said Wallace. Blessed him to pick up that Quran. But before he picked the Quran up, he had a new soul, a free soul, a soul that had been raised under his mother, because the first early years of his life, his father had to run from hypocrites, lies, and deceivers who themselves wanted to usurp and steal this newfound incubator. It was only a temporary incubator, never intended to be anything but an incubator. You go to the dentist, they give you a filling. They drill a hippopotamy, I believe it is. They take all the nerves out. It took the nerves out of slavery, suffering, and death, and gave a temporary feeling. And in the late 50s, a young man rose up by God's permission in the house of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Worth Dean Muhammad. Malcolm said it. There were only two influences in the Nation of Islam. That was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and there were Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, or Minister Wallace did. Now I'm a scholar of the Nation of Islam. I'm a scholar, Brother Minister Malcolm. I don't think anybody, probably one person, probably know them better than I do. I'm telling you the truth. That's why you all should come to the events sponsored by Mosque Cares You should be there for the Ramadan session. Nawaruddin Muhammad II is going to be there, taught by his father, prepared. This is a continuing journey, and the destiny of our people is to be a free people. That's the environment that Minister Malcolm came under the influence of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, Minister Wallace. He says it. He's publicly on record saying the successor to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is Wallace D. Muhammad. Even writes it in his biography, at least Alex Haley did. And I happen to know Alex Haley. Met him. Talked with him. In fact, Alex Haley said at the University of Wisconsin, I believe around 1968, it was not Malcolm. It was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad that built the Nation of Islam. He created the environment. That environment was able to take Malcolm and detox him of drugs, detox him of pimping, detox him of that and turn him in a direction. Due to the corruption inside the Nation of Islam by corrupt leaders, Malcolm turned to Imam Waruddin Muhammad. Imam Waruddin Muhammad was studying Quran, but he was also studying the great works of the great liberator, Dr. Martin Luther King. So this is the mind of Brother Minister Malcolm, who is now making a transition. And I want you to know something, too. Who told them about Al-Islam? Minister Nathaniel Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's son, said it was Daddy, as he called him, his father, that taught Islam, and Wallace taught Al-Islam. He said he asked his father, said, Daddy? No, his father said, Wallace taught me then the Imam Waruddin Muhammad is not to teach the Bible. He is to teach the Quran. And from the 50s on, everybody knew around the Nation of Islam, including Brother Minister Malcolm, that the way out, and he told, these are the exact words, the only way out for the Nation of Islam is to learn Al-Islam, not Orthodox Islam. You lying Negroes would say he told them the Sunni Islam, Al-Islam. And the new Islam, not the Islam of the sheikhs, not the Islam of Pakistan, but the Islam that would come out of a virgin mind that was turned on, completed to God, and was focused on building a new people. You and I are new people. We're not Yoruba. We're not Igbo. We're not Ifes. We are a new people that God has raised up. And I want to say as we conclude, the human being is constructed as a body. And the terminology Imam Muhammad said for a sure body is you have a head. And when we look at the head, we have people who have vision. The leaders to have vision. The leaders to have ears. But the person who just a voice, Malcolm was a voice. We had before him Minister Sultan. We've had other representatives. And to show that Malcolm was not end all be all, after he had left the nation, the nation continued to grow. The nation's been a growing phenomenon. That is, the community has been a growing phenomenon. Understand that. And I have to say to you, dear people, this. What do you mean, Imam Alpha, you are the successor? Imam Muhammad said the one that goes up front is the most trusted. I wish I could share with you some good news, but some very phenomenal good news is happening. It's not happening right now in the masjid. It's happening in the neighborhoods where we're going out into the community. and sharing the good news that African American people must accept responsibility. I know y'all can talk about the fall of America. If America were to fall today, we would be in horrible shape because we have not implemented a program. And while I'm at it, I must tell you that the two organizations that Brother Minister Malcolm had, the Organization of African American Unity and the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, he got those ideas from Imam Word Dean Muhammad. Prior to Malcolm leaving the Nation of Islam, Imam Muhammad had left, and it created an organization called the Society for African American Upliftment. And the Society of American Muslims. This is on record. You can look it up. He presages the second phase of Minister Malcolm's life when he turned in the direction toward universality. But he, like many others, had dropped out. I wasn't patient enough to learn. We have a lot of people running around today. They think they have completed their journey. They think they know more about Al-Islam and Imam Waqf Dean Muhammad, and they are being punished. Every time I turn the TV on, I'm not punished. In fact, I don't turn it on. I don't watch the political news. I'm too busy creating political news. I'm too busy organizing and getting our people responsible and waking up our people, because I know for a fact that Almighty God is going to raise up a new people. I see it. I see new people coming out of our colleges and universities. I see new people coming out of the business community. I see new people coming out of the social order, decent, upright citizens who want to see a new world. I see men and women who are going to be responsible for making Morehouse College. They ain't prepared to go and march in Washington. They're prepared to march through the streets of Chicago, through the streets of Detroit, through the streets of Los Angeles, through the streets of New York, and raise billions of dollars for Mohawk. Don't tell me we broke. I know we aren't. We have over $2 trillion in our economy. We might be disconnected. $2 trillion. We can't build a first-rate education system. I'm almost going to add what Don Blige Muhammad said. We should be dumped in the lake. But I know when this message get out, and I know how God has inspired me, Malcolm's job was to bring forth, he didn't know the way. His job was just to broadcast the way. And we got confused, switched in between, and start listening to others. He lost the way. He needed a way. He was not the top leader. I think the sign from God is his daddy was Malcolm, was Earl Little, and William. And the line of succession God had raised up in Georgia, in Deep Step, Georgia, William Muhammad, who created an incubator for Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad created an incubator for the destiny of what God wanted for us, a model for us as an African American, a man of faith, a man that didn't believe in his inherent inferiority, a man that was blessed by Almighty God himself. God spoke through him to raise up humanity. And soon and very soon, you're going to see community life sprouting up where ghettos was. You're going to see colleges and universities sprouting up when men used to hang around on corners. You're going to see refined, cultured men who used to be given to vulgarity. You will see entertainment centers that would lift up humanity. And I am going to be a part of that movement to broadcast it, to sell you the new mind, the new spirit, the new will that God has destined for you. God has destined for you a new will, a new mind and spirit to build the new educated human being, the new businessman, the new refined, when I say man, I'm talking about the mind, the new refined man, the new governmental man that will have government in his home, government in his neighborhood, government in his cities, government in his states. He will develop a democracy, not a dictatorship, but a leadership that will serve as a beacon light for all human beings. When this African-American wakes up and we have more men like me who are standing out, training men, I hope to have to see you at the Ramadan session at the Mosque Cares headquarters. Invite you out and see you at the convention at Tinley Park. You'll see and hear more of this message. And I'm going to join the leader that's building the community right here in America, a community that will rise up to give light to all people, starting with our own people. How in the hell I'm going to give light to other people and I'm not doing anything to the people who have been the victims of the worst form of treatment known to man? I urge you to write me, Mount Alfred, P.O. Box 1032, and get my Savior's Day address, Savior's Day Khutbah. It's called Khutbah Juma address. It's called the greatest plot in the history of humanity and God's strategy for saving a people. P.O. Box 1032, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. I'll repeat again, Imam Alfred Muhammad, P.O. Box 1032. Linden, New Jersey, 07036. It's a powerful khutbah. God has really blessed me to tell you that He, God Himself, has eviscerated the plot, the scheme, the game that has been predicated upon us as a people to crush us. God has raised up a new people. Yes, America, there's new leadership. And that new leadership in America is among its slave quarters. I wish I could share more of this with you. But Imam Muhammad said there will come a time when the political people will even come to us and ask to lead them. It's happening. And it's going to happen more. They're going to be asking us to assume the governorship, but they're not going to ask phonies. They're going to be coming to the mosque cares and people who associate honestly and sincerely. If you listen to the sound of my voice, you say you follow Imam Work Dean Muhammad, you should be supporting the mosque cares. You should be sending your contribution. You shouldn't be with ISNA. You shouldn't be with ICNA. And you should understand, whether you be Muslim or Christian, that Imam Work Dean Muhammad has been raised up to free you. To free you scripturally. To free your spirit. We're not going to force everybody to be Muslim. We know that's not going to happen. But we want you to be enlightened. Let's compete who's going to get the most of more house. Let's compete who's going to pull the more people off the street. Let's compete to be the greatest people on earth. I love what Dr. King said. I want you to be first. First in generosity. First in love. And may God's peace and blessings be upon you. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart to forgive us for not having brought this message into your home earlier. We're going to train some young people to go into these homes. Thank you. Yeah, but the people, this conclude our broadcast. We thank you so much. Wallace was listening.